question had been, do the late night shows need Donald Trump? I'm starting to think they do. I'm going to do a set of Super Bowl jokes from late night shows here. Other than this first Jimmy Kimmel one, they're not that good. The good one, Kimmel. I don't know if a lot of people mention this, but Tom Brady won his seventh ring at a time when a lot of people in this country don't even have one Super Bowl ring. So that's good. Trevor Noah. And how about Tom Brady winning his seventh Super Bowl ring? At this rate, he's going to be the first player with a Super Bowl toe ring, people. Trevor. I mean, at this point, Tom Brady's led the kind of life that eight-year-olds narrate to themselves in the backyard. The crowd goes wild. Tommy wins his seventh Super Bowl, and now he's rich, and he's married to a supermodel, and now he's riding on a dinosaur. Fallon. Yeah, Brady has cemented his place in the sports Mount Rushmore alongside Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, and the fan who took a home run ball to the chest to save his beers. Like, these are all, like, okay. Jimmy Kimmel said, the one thing I was hoping Donald Trump would accomplish is getting a Super Bowl Monday off. He had 4 years. Nothing. Kimmel. This was the first Super Bowl where I ever had a yell, be quiet, I'm trying to hear the poem. Colbert. One thing that was not normal but was beautiful was the pregame performance from the breakout star of Joe Biden's inauguration, poet Amanda Gorman, who recited an original poem. It was the most exciting pregame poetry recital since Robert Frost kicked off the action at Super Bowl I. These aren't good. Seth, that's right. The Bucks beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I know it's hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls, but honestly, J-Lo should have gotten the chance to try. Fallon. In Boston, fans are happy for Brady, but said that he left the Patriots, which probably explains Sam Adams' new beer, Sam Adams' Bittersweet Tears. Jimmy Fallon. Seriously, the game was such a dud. I watched it from home, and I still had to leave early to beat traffic. Is it me? He's heard that good. Fallon, what a weekend for the people of Tampa. 48 hours of nonstop drinking and partying in the streets, and then the Super Bowl. All right, that's all right. Kimmel, Tampa Bay fans were not taking precautions. They had a huge, mostly maskless celebration while I was eating nachos through my N95. Colbert, while the teams did their best to make the game itself safe-ish, the after party on the streets of Tampa was a different story because following the Bucks' blowout victory, hordes of maskless fans partied hardy in a foolhardy display that can only be described as Florida. Fallon, yeah, they partied hard in Tampa. One girl was so drunk she made out with the Vince Lombardi hologram. Kimmel, you know, health officials are frustrated because they spent the whole last year trying to educate people about the importance of masks and social distance. Unfortunately, explaining science to people from Florida is like explaining Zoom to your turtle. That's probably the worst set of late night jokes, maybe since I've started the podcast. I remember last week I told you about the spec script for the gang storms the Capitol. That would be the script in which the It's Always in Sunny Philadelphia gang stormed the Capitol of the United States. There's another one. This is a spec script for the Office pandemic episode. The episode called The Virus is pretty great. The cold open involves some light door dashing. It's particularly spot on if you can easily hear the actors saying the lines in your head as you read. You know, if you got a winner. And then here's an interlude with Krasinski and Carell. Michael would say, ah, 10 o'clock on the dot. Every day, I swear to God, around this time exactly, someone shows up, walks to the door with a bag, takes a picture of the building and leaves. What could it be up to? Drug runner? Plotting a burglary? Casing the joint, perhaps? Then you cut to Jim. I ordered a late breakfast today through a food delivery service once, and they have a policy to take a picture of the food when it's left at the door, and for some reason, Michael was just mesmerized by it. I honestly can't explain it. He couldn't stop staring out the window, so naturally I began to do it more, and it generally keeps him distracted for at least half an hour. You'd think eating out for breakfast every day would be costing me a fortune, but during that time, Michael's kept distracted. I make more than enough in sales commissions to make up for it. I might even start having my lunch delivered. Today's breakfast is, and he checks his bag, egg and cheese omelet. Jim grins, cue the theme. The rest of the script by Redditor Nick the Surfer is equally expertly pitched. The writer wants to note that the episode is set around season 2 to avoid spending too much time setting up a big reunion for the characters. That makes sense. It also takes place near the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, which explains why they're not working remotely. Yeah, I hadn't picked up on that flaw, right? The Office pandemic episode, why are they in the office? Although that could be a plot in itself. You will find that on Reddit, and it's going to be too hard to dive onto Reddit to find that. So go to the AV Club, and they've got a link for you there. From the Interrobang, it's something fans of the late, great Patrice O'Neill have long been waiting for. What's that? It's the documentary about comedian Patrice O'Neill. A few years after Patrice passed away in 2011, his longtime girlfriend Von DiCarlo Brown launched a crowdfunded campaign to produce a documentary. DiCarlo and her initial team parted ways. The rights were signed over to Comedy Central. Then the network worked with Bill Burr's All Things Comedy. And that makes sense because Bill Burr was friends with O'Neill. You'll finally get to see this thing on Comedy Central February 19th at 10 p.m. After that, they will air Patrice's special. I don't know how familiar you may or may not be with Patrice O'Neill. The comedians loved him. Like, he was a comics comic. I worked with him a couple times, and by worked with him, I meant like I was producing a radio show and he was a guest on it. I don't want to make it sound like we did a movie together. But one thing about Patrice is he would like screw with you. Like, I'm looking right now. I'm wearing a Mets sweatshirt as I record. So if Patrice walked in the room right now, he'd be like, "Mets sweatshirt, huh?" Just to like get a reaction out of you. And I don't know. I don't know why he did that. You hear me struggling here. I never enjoyed my time around him because he did that, but he did that to everybody. I don't think he was being a jerk. I don't know if he thought he was being funny, but just he had this way of just like walking around him and like messing with everyone, and it just wasn't fun to be around. On stage, though, funny? Absolutely. You should watch the documentary. From Screen Rant, Dan Harmon, you know him. He's the creator of Community and Rick and Morty. He's developing a new animated comedy for Fox set to release in 2022, which sounds like the far distant future, but that's next year. The new series is set in mythical ancient Greece. It will focus on a flawed family of humans, gods, and monsters that tries to run one of the world's first cities without killing each other. It's early yet, but at this time there is no title, no cast list, and no other details of Mark Harmon's new show. Now, you guys know I love Community. One of my favorite episodes of Community is when they play Dungeons and Dragons. The whole thing with Fat Neil, that episode is hilarious. And if you can't get enough of Dungeons and Dragons, you should check out the podcast Cast Party. I got a note from Ryan who wrote, "My name is Ryan, creator and editor of Cast Party, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast." And I was like, that sounds interesting. Tell me more, Ryan, creator and editor of Cast Party, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. He said, "We are an actual play Dungeons and Dragons show revolving around a group of actors and crew members from Hollywood that are accidentally transported to the world of Dungeons and Dragons. We're looking for a few similar podcasts to promote our show and bring in some new listeners." And I'm like, I have a podcast. I could promote your show and bring in some new listeners. So, hey, my listeners, you're going to check out Cast Party. It's a Dungeons and Dragons podcast, which I'll remind you revolves around a group of actors and crew members on set filming Hollywood's next big fantasy film. But during the final scene, a spell is broken that accidentally teleports this unlikely group into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. Lost and confused in this new land, the only person they believe can get them back to Earth is kidnapped. Wait, what? Kidnapped? That sucks. And that begins their quest to save their friend and get back home. So I was like playing around on this. Some recent episodes. Episode 6 was called The Voice of Reason. The description of that episode: name, sleazeball, occupation, sailor, cause of death. Well, to be honest, I don't know. And it's bothering me. He was in perfect health, has all his blood. He just died. I don't know. They bring him in and said, "Hey, Kerner, why did he die?" But they said, dot, dot, dot. That made me want to click on it. Episode 7 was The Awakening Festival. That description: I can't believe I lost. Those jerks, they just beat me and they leave. They beat me at my favorite game and they just have to play more games without me. Who does that? Who goes to a festival and just plays games? They're not... dot, dot, dot. And the newest episode, episode 8, You Like Jazz. That description is haggling over prices, random questions about some gnome. Like, come on, I know they were going to be a weird bunch the second they walked in. I kind of regret telling them about the temporary magic tattoos. I think they might come back for me. So you want to check this out. Cast Party, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. You can get it wherever you get your shows, and they sponsor today's Daily Comedy News. Ah, my man Donnie Zolden is back. He tweeted, Cuomo, that is New York State Governor, what is his first name? See, the real governor of New York was Mario Cuomo. I can't think of, this is so funny. I could just edit this out. What is the governor's name? Mario Cuomo is the real one because I'm from the 80s when Mario Cuomo was the governor. Cuomo's son, Governor Cuomo. It'll come to me to say, Andrew. It's Andrew Cuomo. I could just edit that out, but why would I? Andrew Cuomo is producing outdoor comedy shows now. Several smiley faces. This is from Donnie Zolden's Twitter. Nothing like sticking it to independent venues, forcing them to stay closed while the city creates their own entertainment programming. This is disgusting. Plus, they stole most of our outdoor show ideas. The New York Post writes, Big Apple Comedy Club owner thinks Governor Andrew Cuomo's sudden plan to jumpstart the local entertainment industry is a joke, Donnie said. I thought it was an onion piece at first. On Monday, the governor of New York State announced an upcoming programming of star-studded pop-up performances everywhere from subway platforms to local parks, many of which will be free of charge. Zoldan said, struggling independent venues like his, he owns Stand Up New York, which is a club in New York City, have already been organizing similar outdoor events. He said, outdoor shows aren't even allowed, but we've been doing it anyway because we have nothing to lose. His club has produced more than 500 outdoor events. Donnie said, we've proven that we've been able to do it safely. And then Cuomo goes and announces this plan to create all this outdoor programming free of charge. It's not showing consideration for independent venues that are struggling to survive. Donnie concedes, yeah, I guess it's good for New Yorkers. The more entertainment, the better. New Yorkers need to be entertained. New York State says the New York Pops Up, and Pops Up is one word, that is lame, begins February 20th. It will serve as a, quote, pilot program and create New York's, quote, first large-scale model for how to bring live performance back safely. Mario Cuomo's son Andrew Cuomo said, when you shut down Broadway, when you just shut down movie theaters, you shut down an entire economy, so we're going to accelerate the reopening with 300 pop-up arts performances across the state. Now, the performers, it's a mix of things from poetry to comedy, from pop music to opera, and so much more. Let's take a look at some of the names. Amy Schumer, who is related to Chuck Schumer, powerful Democrat, much like Andrew Cuomo, powerful Democrat. Coincidence? Perhaps. Alec Baldwin, sort of comedian, not really. Chris Rock, definitely a comedian. Broderick, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kena Thompson, Aparna Ancherla randomly on this list, Jared Carmichael, and many others. Quotes, the events themselves will ignite imaginative collisions of different art forms. I think I got to side with Donnie on this one, especially when this winds up being that, you know, it's going to be something like Amy Schumer being allowed to film a special somewhere that airs on Comedy Central and everybody gets paid. Something like that's going to happen out of this. I'm with you, Donnie. From Broadway World, your home for comedy news, some of the world's top names in comedy have banded together for the upcoming All-Star Zoom Comedy Fundraiser, comic stand-up for Anton and Marie in support of their friends, Emmy-winning commercial producer Anton Mailey and his wife Marie Fuentes, and their battle with ALS. It's a live free Zoom event Saturday, February 20th. Alonzo Bowden will be part of the show, Jackie Cation as well, so if you want to check that out, they have a GoFundMe page, and that is February 20th. The event is called All-Star Zoom Comedy Fundraiser Comic Stand-Up for Anton and Marie. Hey, did you vote yet? I'm trying to get you to vote. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to the Instagram page, which is called Daily Comedy News, or I'm so old. Like, it's an app. Kids, you know what to do. You go on the Instagram, you go to Daily Comedy News. On there, you're going to find a post I did on Sunday afternoon for Comedy's Top Dog. Your contestants are Bill Burr or Jim Gaffigan. You're going to pick one of them, and you're going to write in the comments, I vote for whoever you vote for, and then we're going to tally up, and we see who wins, and then one of them's going to advance, because I'm trying to build community around the show. So go to the Instagram page and vote Jim Gaffigan or Bill Burr for your top dog in comedy this week. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple, or wherever you get your shows. And if you like what I do here and you want to buy me a coffee, I just went to the donuts chain and got one. That's a large ice with caramel. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can throw me $5 one time, or if you want to be super cool like Susan and support the show, you can hit the subscription button and give me $5 every month. Thank you, Susan, for that. Everybody, see you tomorrow, but go vote Instagram.